he did not throw a wild pitch, and he ended up the game facing 20 total batters on 64 pitches before handing it off to Wiesinger. First pitch on the way to Josh Arquette, misses for ball number one. 1-0 the count. This one's fouled back. Now 1-1 the count. And Jack Wiesinger, the right-handed pitcher, comes into this game and hopes to keep rolling. His last game, two innings pitched, didn't allow a run on only one hit. He had three strikeouts against Fond du Lac just 2 days ago. Back at Witter Field in the home finale for the Rafters. 1-1 count here is fouled back. Now 1-2 the count. The Rafters have just one more game this season. They'll return to Wausau tomorrow afternoon for a 3 o'clock game against the Woodchucks. 1-2 the count, and Josh Arquette up at the plate, looking to do damage against Wiesinger. That pitch low and away for ball number two. 2-2 the count. Arquette 1-for-3 on the game. He reached on an error his last time up. Had a single the previous plate appearance, lined out to left, and he also walked. Grounder over to third. It's a nice play by Gaz. Throw to first, way off the line. And that is going to go down as an infield hit for Josh Arquette. First hit allowed by Jack Wiesinger, and it brings up Zach Knowlton to the plate with a runner on first and one away in the bottom of the seventh. And Knowlton, the right-handed hitting DH, it's a righty-righty matchup between him and Wiesinger. Knowlton, 1-for-2 on the game with two walks. First pitch on the way home, in there for strike number one, 0-1 the count. Knowlton's last time up was his first hit of the game, a single, and ended up coming around to score. He also flew out to left field the time before and had two walks to start the game. 0-1 count is upstairs, now a 1-1 count. One of those walks was with the bases loaded, so he got an RBI. Scored two on the stat sheet. Also has a stolen base. 1-1 the count. Runner on first gets a pickoff move his way from Wiesinger, so remains 1-1. Jake Berglund is on deck if it gets there, although with the runner on first, aim as that pitch misses high and tight for ball number two. 2-1 the count. Up next, Jake Berglund. He has been hot this game, reached three times, including three RBIs. You don't want to face him. 2-1 the count. And the pitch on the way home is a little inside for ball number three. 3-1. And Wiesinger. And he's had some really good performances. He's also had some rough ones. His last two, though, mentioned the last time out, two shutout innings. He also had a perfect eighth inning back on 8. 3-1 count is fouled back. Now 3-2 the count. Not a perfect seventh inning here, though, as he did allow the infield single. 3-2 the count to Knowlton, and still could be 3-up, 3-down, though. Hit from Wiesinger on the way home. Swing and a miss. Strike number three, and 3-up, 3-down, but it does take care of Knowlton. And it brings up Jake Berglund with a runner on first and two outs in the bottom of the seventh. Still 15-2, the lead for the Woodchucks. And Jake Berglund, the right-handed hitting shortstop. It's a righty-righty matchup between and Berglund. And the first pitch here, grounded over towards third in fair territory, picked up by Gaz. He waited on it, and the throw to first, that time it airmails Maude and goes all the way into right field. Maude chasing it, and now rounding third is the runner, and he will come home and score! Tag not applied in time by Peyton Bryant. And an infield single for Jake Berglund, and then the error from Landon Gaz in E5 sends home Josh Arquette all the way from second base, a two-base error. And that the fifth error of the game for the Rafters. Brings up Noah Malone to the plate with a runner on first base and two outs in the bottom of the seventh. 16-2, the lead for the Woodchucks. And Wiesinger trying to get out of this one. First pitch, misses low and away for ball number one. 1-0 the count. At this moment in time, that run unearned. But two hits in the inning. It's still just two outs, 1-0 count. That one misses high and tight, and matrix move from Noah Malone to avoid getting hit. It's a 2-0 count. Also worth noting in that Green Bay game, another run came across to score. They scored five runs in the bottom of the fourth to take a 5-2 lead over the Mallards. 2-0 the count here in Wausau, and it gets a foul ball from Malone. Now a 2-1 count. And the Woodchucks fans are really hoping for a Green Bay victory, because as mentioned earlier, if Green Bay wins, then Wausau controls their own destiny, despite dropping the game against the Rockers yesterday. 2-1 count is laced out toward left field, and this one is way out of here. Sayonara, another home run from Noah Malone. Man, does he love the rafters or what? Noah Malone continues to do damage. That is his sixth home run of the season against the rafters, and it clears the one man on. It's now 18-2 Woodchucks in the bottom of the seventh, and this thing is way out of hand. RBIs 3 and 4 on the game, and Noah Malone, my goodness, he got every bit of that baseball. I want to know the advanced numbers behind that one. Did that go 400? Probably. Maybe more. First pitch here misses. No, it clips the inside edge for strike number one. Christian Smith-Johnson up at the plate. And Smith-Johnson, right-handed hitting center fielder. Righty-righty matchup between him and Wiesinger. 0-1 count coming home. Breaking ball hit to the right side of the infield. Picked up at first by Maw. Flips it to Wiesinger, and it's a 3-1 put out to take care of Christian Smith-Johnson for the final out of the seventh inning. But three more runs come across for the Woodchucks on three hits. There was one error, and the Woodchucks left nobody on base. We go to the eighth. It is 18-2 Wausau here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
It's back. Because of the tremendous response last year, the studios of WFHR and WIRI will be having an open house on Wednesday, August 20th from 12 to 6 p.m. Join the crew for food trucks, games, and a staff dessert contest. Kids can try their hand at being a radio announcer. Some will even be played on the air. Local nonprofits will be on hand, along with special live broadcasts on both stations. Join us right here, 1690 2nd Avenue South, for our open house on August 20th from 12 to 6.
Now, back to more Wisconsin Rapids Rafters baseball on WFHR.
Well, to say this is a rough one is a bit of an understatement, too, in the game. Just trying to get out of Wausau now. Escape from Wausau. That's the goal here, and get out of this one as quickly as possible. They'll have to get up on the pitching mound just one more time here, unless the offense does the impossible, I'll say, and score 16 runs, down 16. It'll be the 8, 9, and 1 batters for the Rafters due up in the top of the 8th. Christian Bermudez up at the plate, righty-righty matchup, and the 0-1 count is fouled away, now 0-2. And Paul Nutzel back on the mound for his third inning. Man, has he been good. And honestly, why not send him back out there for a fourth inning if he's able to go 3 up, 3 down again in the 8th? 0-2 the count, and Nutzel brings it home. Misses low for ball number one, 1-2 the count. The Rafters hoping that he won't go 1-2-3, but Nutzel did in the sixth and the seventh. Apologies there. 1-2 the count. And Nutzel trying to go through seven straight batters. Swing and a foul tip. Strike three. And that takes care of Christian Bermudez for the second strikeout of the game from Paul Nutzel. Back-to-back K's at that. And it brings up Seth Spencer to the plate with the bases empty and one out in the top of the eighth. Still a 16-run Woodchucks lead. And 16 runs, not actually the largest deficit the Rafters have faced this season. They lost 18-0 earlier in the year as a swing and a miss from Seth Spencer brings the count 0-1. That was not a fun game, to say the least, earlier in the year when they lost by 18. 0-1 count on the way home. Called for strike number two. Seth Spencer, left-handed hitting DH. It's a lefty-righty matchup, and Spencer, his only plate appearances as a Rafter have come today, and his only plate appearances in years. 0-2 the count, and the pitch coming home. This one's hit out toward left center field. Hit pretty well, dropping. It will get down for a hit. Second hit of the game for Seth Spencer. Why has this guy not been batting all year long? I mean, Seth Spencer, his second hit of the game, and it brings us back up to the top of the order with River Lindsay. Seth Spencer is a pitcher for the Rafters, but call him Shohei Ohtani, I mean, whatever you want to call him, he needs to have been batting all year long. I tell you what, this guy has been great today. River Lindsay now up. The last time that Seth Spencer singled, Lindsay followed with a home run, so why not do it again? First pitch to Lindsay is outside, called for ball number one, 1-0 the count. And that single from Spencer, the first hit, first base runner allowed by Paul Nutzel. 1-0 the count to Lindsay. And the pitch from Nutzel will instead go back to first base on a pickoff move, and Spencer dives head first back into the bag. Well, they say pitchers are athletes too, and Spencer doing about as much as he can to show that off. I wouldn't be shocked if he tried stealing second here, just for fun. 1-0 the count, and he'll stay on the bag, though. This one fouled off, now a 1-1 count. Spencer may be trying to time up the new pitcher, Paul Nutzel, who he has not seen before. Nutzel now facing his ninth batter of the game. Back in the sixth inning, his first batter he faced was Jake Beauchesne. 1-1 the count. Beauchesne is on deck, but double play is in order. Could get out of the inning without that, and a bunt attempt is fouled back by Lindsay. He's shown that bunt a few times today, but hasn't ended up placing one down in fair territory. So a 1-2 count, and Lindsay, well, when you hit a home run earlier in the game, to show bunt later and actually try and go for it, not many guys will do that. 1-2 the count. Spencer on first. And the pitch from Nutzel. He brings the leg up, fires home. It's grounded over to the right side of the infield. Deep in the four spot. The throwback to first goes way over the head of the first baseman. It's an infield single for River Lindsay. Back-to-back hits for the Rafters. And these lefties have been trouble for the Wausau pitching staff. The choice of the player we're trying to get. Brings up Jake Beauchesne to the plate with runners on first and second and one out in the top of the eighth. Still a 16-run Woodchucks lead. The Rafters five errors and five hits. The Woodchucks no errors. They have 12 hits on the game. Part of the reason why you see such a big difference in the score. Righty-righty matchup between Beauchesne and Nutzel. First pitch on the way home, misses low and gets away. Spencer's taken off for third, and so is Lindsay. And a wild pitch with both runners advancing. So now runners on second and third, and the Rafters would love to get some runs here late, and though it won't mean much in the grand scheme of things, it'll feel good for momentum. 1-0 the count to Jake Beauchesne, and the pitch coming home is in there for strike number one. 1-1 the count, and Beauchesne Right-handed hitting second baseman. He's hit the ball pretty well today. A couple of flyouts to the outfield, although he did pop out to the pitcher one time back in the first inning. Still trying to get a hit here. He's 0 for 3. 1 and 1 the count coming home, and this one fouled back. Now 1 and 2, and Beauchesne down to his last strike. The Rafters have just one more game, so for some of these players, they might be seeing their lasts. Last at bat, last plate appearance. Not sure who all, but Karima Rusevic, he was scratched from the lineup today feeling sick, and so for at least one of these guys, you expect a Rusevic to return tomorrow. 1-2 count, gets a swing and a miss. Strike number 3, and that takes care of Jake Beauchesne. And so Beauchesne retired for the fourth time this game. It brings up Landon Gaz to the plate with runners on first and second and two away in the top of the eighth. Still a 16-run lead for the Woodchucks, and the right-handed hitting Gaz has the third baseman for the Rafters into the righty-righty matchup between Gaz and Nutzel. Nutzel trying to go through three complete here and earn the hold at the very least. First pitch, swing and a miss for strike number 1. 0-1 the count. And if Nutzel does come back out for the ninth inning, he'd be in line for the save. Despite the score, due to the three-inning pitch rule. Although I don't necessarily scout. 0-1 count coming home. This one's laced high in the air out towards right center field. Going back to the warning track at the wall. It is out of here. Landon Gaz, a three-run shot. And he turns this thing around for the second homer of the game from the Rafters. His fifth homer of the year, and he has this one absolutely smoked to the opposite field. He loves that opposite field. Three-run shot, and the Rafters offense, at the very least, has something to hang their head high on. They are not giving up here. So it brings up Hiroto Kobayashi, rather than a 16-run lead, now cut back to 13. So, hey, at the very least, that is something that you can smile about. And Kobayashi into the batter's box, right-handed hitting right fielder. Righty-righty matchup between him and Nutzel. Bases empty with two away in the top of the eighth. 18-5, the lead for the Woodchucks. Second home run of the game for the Rafters. Lindsay had a two-run home run back in the third, and the three-run shot there. Those are all of the runs this game for the Rafters. One count to Kobayashi. And so the Rafters, too little too late, but would love to keep the offense moving. Grounder to third base, picked up, throw on to first is in time, and a 5-3 put out. Takes care of Kobayashi to end the eighth inning. The Rafters, though, score three runs on their three hits. There were no errors, and there was nobody left on base. We go to the bottom of the eighth. It's 18-5 Woodchucks here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
We launched 3 weeks ago, and we've raised over $300,000 in 3 weeks. And our average dollar donation is $50. And most of that is coming from within this state, which tells us that Arkansans, real Arkansans, farmers and workers and families are hungry for change. And we're not going to put up with someone like Tom Cotton, who doesn't even live here and doesn't really even talk about the state of Arkansas. We're not going to put up with him representing us anymore.
And voted twice against the farm bill, as I understand, right?
He did. He voted twice against the farm bill. He voted for the One Big Beautiful Bill, which we know will be disastrous for our state. That vote actually really baffles me, because one in every four Arkansans relies on Medicaid. And we are quite literally the hungriest state in the country. We are the most food insecure state in the nation. One in every six children in Arkansas will go to bed hungry this year. And yet he voted to gut SNAP. That just shows how truly out of touch he is, how truly he does not care about the people of Arkansas. And I have heard over and over again, the only way you get a meeting with Tom Cotton is if you have a big check in your hand.
Wow. I mean, you know, literally that bill is going to take food out of the mouths of children and your state.
You're listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR, brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric Inc., Party Envy, Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep,
Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Fireplaces, McCain, Stevens Point Brewery, Delta Dental, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Solaris, Aspirus Health, and the Food and Farm Exploration Center. Listen to Raptors Baseball here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Dylan Schlotterbeck leads things off in the bottom of the eighth for the Wausau Woodchucks. 18-5 they lead as Jack Wiesinger is back on the mound. First pitch misses outside for ball number one. 1-0 the count. And Schlotterbeck, right-handed hitting third baseman. It's a righty-righty matchup between him and Jack Wiesinger. The Raptors were able to score three runs thanks to the three-run shot from Landon Gaz last inning, but still down by a ton. Grounded to the left side of the infield, sliding down. It gets past the shortstop into left field, and a leadoff single from Dylan Schlotterbeck. It's his second hit of the game and brings up Max Solis to the plate with a man on first out in the bottom of the eighth inning. Still a 13-run lead for the Woodchucks, and Max Solis, right-handed catcher. It's a righty-righty matchup between him and Wiesinger. And first pitch on the way is in there for strike number one. 0-1 the count. And Jack Wiesinger back in the seventh inning came in and he allowed the two-run shot from Noah Malone, but also allowed another run to come across on Josh Arquette coming around to score on the error. 0-1 count is called for a strike. Now, swing and a miss. 0-2 the count. And Solis on the game. He is 1-for-3 from the plate with two walks and reached on an error his last time up. Fastball misses low. Now 1-2 the count. And so prior to reaching on the error, he struck out, had an RBI single, and walked twice. Had an RBI bases loaded walk back in the first, so he's got two RBIs on the game. 1-2 count. Check swing. Misses low and away and bounces away from Bryant. So Schlotterbeck takes off for second on the wild pitch. It's now a 2-2 count to Solis. And Solis, no home runs on the game yet, although that same thing could have been said about Noah Malone his last time up. And then he had the two-run shot in the seventh inning. And Solis now outnumbered in total home runs on the season as that pitch misses high for ball number three. A 3-2 count. So a little bit of a fun race there among the top of the home run leaderboard on the Woodchucks this season. Malone 14, Solis 13. That pitch inside ball number four. And so Solis won't get a home run there, although he gets on base. A walk for him brings up Braden Mazzucano to the plate, with runners on first and second, and nobody out in the bottom of the eighth. It's 18-5, the lead for the Woodchucks, and Mazzucano, the left-handed hitting left fielder. It's a lefty-righty matchup between him and Wiesinger, and Wiesinger is trying to finish off the game for the Raptors here, as the first pitch on the way comes home and is called for strike number one, even though Bryant drops it. 0-1 the count, and Mazzucano 0-for-5 on the game. This is his sixth plate appearance. Still looking to reach for the first time. Swing and a miss, strike number two. And the left-handed hitter has not had a great so far. Bunch of righties in the lineup, but Mazzucano a lefty. And it's been him that struggled. 0-2 the count, way outside for ball number one. 1-2 the count. Nice snag by Peyton Bryant to make sure that those runners don't take off. Still a 1-2 count. And Wiesinger just looking to get it to the ninth as the pitch here is called outside for ball number two, a 2-2 count. The Raptors trying their best to get out of Wausau without further damage. The Woodchucks scored seven runs in the first inning as the 2-2 count is hit out toward left field. That gets down for a hit. Monum will field it, nearly slips, but throws it back in to keep the bases loaded. Three straight base runners for the Woodchucks as Mazzucano is on first, Solis is on second, and Schlotterbeck is on third. Tom Rodriguez. brings up Dom Rodriguez to the plate with runners on every base and nobody out in the bottom of the eighth. Still a 13-run lead for the Woodchucks. First pitch here is sent high in the air out toward right field. Kobayashi at the warning track, reaching up, and he's got it. But everyone's going to advance with how deep it was. A sacrifice fly, a great play by Hiroto Kobayashi. He had to go into the wall for that one, but still an RBI as Rodriguez sends Mazzucano to second. Solis goes to third, and Schlotterbeck comes home to score. So now 19-5, the lead for the Woodchucks, and the Woodchucks could score a season high against the Rafters. They allowed more than 21 runs this year. That came back against the Woodchucks as this one's hit up the middle and into center field. Here comes run 20. Run number 21 is rounding and will score. It's a two RBI single. And with that, 21 runs is tied for the most runs allowed, as the Woodchucks had scored 21 in just four innings back on June 12th against the Rafters. Then a rough one for the Rafters to watch, but the Woodchucks trying to prove that they are ready for the playoffs and certainly doing so. To be fair, they have that home field advantage, and has home field advantage been great or what? They have won their last 18 consecutive home games, about to make it 19. 0-1 count is fouled back to make 0-2. And Zach Knowlton, the right-handed hitting DH, it's a righty-righty matchup between him and Wiesinger. Runner on first base. Breaking ball is fouled back to stay alive. Still 0-2. Runner on first and one away in the bottom of the eighth. And still now a 21-5 lead for the Woodchucks. So they got back all three runs that the Rafters scored. Swing and a miss, strike number. That takes care of Zach Knowlton for the second out of the inning. And it brings up Jack Berkland with a man on first in the bottom of the eighth. 21-5, the lead for the Woodchucks. Back in that game here at Wausau on June 12th, the Rafters losing 21-7. They did score those seven runs, though, as the pitch in here is called for a strike to Berkland, 0-1 the count. And I mentioned it was only in four innings for their offense. The Rafters had five innings, but then rain paused the game and it ended up being canceled the rest of it. 0-1 count, misses outside, now a 1-1 count. So despite winning 21-7, it was a rain-shortened game, not a score that looks like it was rain-shortened. 1-1 the count, and the pitch to Berkland misses high over his head, 2-1 the count. Jake Berkland, 3-for-4 on the game. He's looking for a four-hit game. 2-1 the count, and runner on first base. Pitch coming home. It is in there for strike number two. 2-2 the count. Taking a look at the other game in Green Bay, the Mallards trail it 5-3 now in the bottom of the sixth. Check swing on a pitch that missed low and away and got him to go around, strike three. So Wiesinger able to finally get out of the eighth inning, although the Woodchucks scored three runs, and they scored those three runs on three hits. And those three hits came with no errors from the Rafters, and the Woodchucks left one on base. We go to the ninth. It's 20-5, the lead for the Woodchucks, and the Rafters just trying to get out of here. We'll see what they can do on the offensive side when we come back here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
It's back. Because of the tremendous response last year, the studios of WFHR and WIRI will be having an open house on Wednesday, August 20th from 12 to 6 p.m. Join the crew for food trucks, games, and a staff dessert contest. Kids can try their hand at being a radio announcer. Some will even be played on the air. Local nonprofits will be on hand, along with special live broadcasts on both stations. Join us right here, 1690 2nd Avenue South, for our open house on August 20th from 12 to 6.
Find your perfect fit at Mid-State Technical College. You wear many hats. Family, friends, hobbies, career, maybe more. Let Mid-State make finding your career hat easier with in-demand programs and certificates, flexible class scheduling, and unmatched support for your success. Even transfer your credits to a four-year university. Mid-State is here to help you find your perfect fit and make time for it all. Learn more at mstc.edu/perfectfit.
Hey, baseball fans, are you ready to swing for the fences in your career instead of warming the bench? By joining Skyward's award-winning team, you'll put education technology solutions into the hands of school leaders who serve over 7 million students around the world. Innovation, collaboration, and fun are all a part of the Skyward culture. So what are you waiting for? Step up to the plate and apply today at www.skyward.com/careers.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Let's get back to the rafters here on WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Top of the ninth inning, and the Rafters will see how long they can keep the inning going as they trail it by 16 in the top of the ninth. Peyton Bryant up to the plate. 1-0 count. That one misses high. Bryant taking on a new pitcher, Josh Steger. And Steger, the right-hander who comes into this one from UW Stevens Point, teammate of both Easton Zempel and Kenny Schultz, who pitched earlier in this game. As the 2-0 count is fouled back. Now a Steger, a freshman there, who comes from Lomira, Wisconsin. 2-1 the count, and now leaning back, Steger will fire home, swing and a miss for strike number two. 2-2 the count. Bryant, right-handed hitting catcher, righty-righty matchup between him and Steger, and Bryant is 0-for-3 from the game. The Rafters' right-handers this game have just two hits, although one of them a three-run home run. This one popped straight foul and out of play down the right field line, so still a 2-2 count. Landon Gaz had the three-run home run last inning, and Mike Monum singled in the fifth. Outside of that, Rafters' right-handers have been 0-for this game. They are a combined 2-for-20 from the plate. As this one is a deep fly ball out toward right field, but not deep enough. The right fielder underneath it reaches up into the night sky and grabs the ball for out number one. One up, one down in the ninth inning. Realized I did my math wrong there. They're actually 2-for-25 now after that one. The Rafters hitters today have really struggled as of right-handed batters. But the left-handed hitters, River Lindsay and Seth Spencer, they've been great. Potentially not going to see them this inning as the first pitch to Lachlan Maud is in there for strike number one. 0-1 the count. Seth Spencer, the nine-hole batter. River Lindsay, the leadoff man. We're at the sixth spot right now. 0-1 count is fouled away. 0-2. Josh Steger, not a save situation. 21-5, the Woodchucks lead, and about as far from a save situation as you can be, unless you're losing. 0-2 the count. And the pitch from Steger on home is fouled off once again. It remains 0-2. Lachlan Maud, the right-handed hitting first baseman at the plate, righty-righty matchup, and Maud 0-for-3 on the game. Flew out his last time up, but struck out the previous two times. 0-2 the count, and a grounder to the third base. Picked up, throw on to first, and it's not picked up by the first baseman. E5 on the low throw, and the first error of the game for the Woodchucks comes in the ninth. Worth noting, the Woodchucks have walked just one batter this game. That one batter was the very first batter seen all the way back in the top of the first. They have been accurate. Mike Monahan now at the plate and also been clean defensively up until that point. Runner on first with one out, and the first pitch to Monahan outside for ball number one. 1-0 the count. Monahan 1-for-3 on the game. He struck out swinging his last time up, but singled in the fifth and struck out the time before. That hit is fourth hit of the season as the 1-0 count comes home. That one high for ball number two, a 2-0 count. And in Green Bay, this game and that game ending both at about the same time. Top of the seventh in a seven-inning ball game at Green Bay, and one out in that one. 2-0 count to Monahan, called for strike number one, a 2-1 count, and the Mallards have to score two runs for a win, or at the very least to tie it up against the Rockers, but they've got nobody on with one away. Here in this game, the Rafters have a runner on first base. 2-1 the count coming home. This one hit out toward right center field by Monahan, dropping down. It will get for a single, rounding second and coming to third is Maud, and now trying to advance to second. The slide is not in time. Tried to extend that one into a runner on second, but not able to do so as he is thrown out from third base. Interesting decision there, and so Monahan will head back to the dugout, and it brings up Christian Bermudez with a runner on third and two outs in the top of the ninth. The Rafters down to their last out, and the Woodchucks looking to drop their number to just one game. First pitch in there for strike number one. 0-1 the count. Over in Green Bay, there are now two outs as well as that one in there for strike number two. 0-2 the count to Bermudez, and the Rafters down to their last strike of the game. As 0-for-3, looking to reach for the first time. He's got a runner on third, and that pitch low for ball number one, a 1-2 count. And Bermudez trying to avoid the strikeout to end the game. 1-2 count here. On the way home, outside for ball number two, and a nice pick by Max Solis. Make sure the ball doesn't get away to keep the runner on third. 1-2 count in Green Bay as well, with the Mallards down to their last strike. They're trying to make the playoffs, but really need a win. 2-2 the count, and that pitch high for ball number three. And with that, Green Bay has won. So with a win here, the magic number officially drops to one for the Woodchucks. 3-2 the count to Bermudez. And the pitch on the way home, swing and a miss, and the Woodchucks are one win away from the playoffs. What a huge victory for the Woodchucks, and a huge day at that. All they need to do is win tomorrow, and they are in. But a loss, and Madison comes back up. The Rafters are looking to play spoiler, and they will have the chance tomorrow. What a scene is set up, and we will see how it goes. But the final score here tonight from Wausau, 21-5, the final score, and the Rafters not putting up much of a fight, although they did have a couple of home runs. We'll look back at how it all happened and recap that, along with take a look back at the stats and numbers, and take a look ahead to tomorrow here on the Rafters postgame show, coming up after this on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
Let's get one thing straight. Nothing compares to Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa. Big wins, fun promos, real cash. No one in the area does it like we do. Every night feels like the weekend. Grab your friends, your family, whoever brings the fun, and fuel up with your favorite meals, sip on something new, and hit the floor. Live music, endless chances to win, and games that light up the night. Ready to turn an ordinary night into something unforgettable? Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, your place to play.
Pencils, check. Notebooks, check. Gym shoes, check. Safeway to and from practice? Back to school shopping for your teenager can be fun, but wondering how they'll get to practice when you're at work is not. Drive down to 8th Street Auto and find them a reliable and affordable set of wheels. Let the team help you through the pros and cons and needs of your driver so you can sleep better at night. 8th Street Auto in Wisconsin Rapids is here for the family and wants to help keep your young driver safe. Call or stop by today.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party? You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Raptors post-game show. Only one more game to go on the season for the Raptors, and tonight's game did not go Wisconsin Rapids' way. Final score 21-5. The Woodchucks took them down at home, and the Woodchucks have now won 19 consecutive games at home. They have just been on a tear. The Raptors in this one, they tried their best, but the pitching just could not compete with the Wausau offense, who really take a look back at how it all happened. And in the first inning, the Raptors had a leadoff walk, but River Lindsay left on the base paths. In the bottom of the first, it was not Trevor Moit's day. He walked 6 batters as part of allowing 7 runs in that first inning. He only got one out before they turned to A.J. Buonasetta. And then Buonasetta was able to work out of it, but did allow a couple of inherited runners to score, which made it 7-0 Woodchucks. It then became 7-2 in the top of the third. Not quite the 10 runs yet. The Raptors had a 2-run home from River Lindsay in the top of the third inning to make it 7-2, but then it became 10-2 in the bottom of the third across for the Woodchucks. And an RBI single from Christian Smith-Johnson, RBI sack fly from Dylan Schlatterbeck, and an RBI single from Max Solis. And then it would be a couple of scoreless innings after that as Kenny Schultz came into the game for the Raptors. He looked great to start into the sixth inning. 10-2 ball game, but that's when Kenny Schultz was fined for the first time as he ended up allowing 5 runs in the game, all 5 in that inning, although only one of them was earned as the Woodchucks then led 15-2. They would extend that lead even further, but not until later, as in the seventh inning, they would score 3 more runs. They had a 2-run home run from Noah Malone, and an error sent home another run. That made it a big lead as they led 18-2 at that point. The Raptors would get 3 runs back in the eighth inning on the 3-run shot from Landon Gaz, and so that made it 18-5, but then the Woodchucks once again responded with 3 runs of their own in the bottom of the eighth. An RBI sack fly from Dom Rodriguez and 2 RBI single from Josh Arquette made it 21-5, and that's where the score would say as the Raptors were not able to score in the ninth inning. So final score 21-5. Taking a look back at the numbers from the game on the pitching side, it was a rough one all around, although Kenny Schultz just 1 earned run allowed over 3 1/3 innings. Pretty good performance at that. On the batting side, though, it was a 2-for-3 game from River Lindsay. He scored 2 runs and had 2 RBIs, also drew a walk and had a home run in the game. What a day for him. He also added a stolen base. Seth Spencer, the pitcher for the Raptors, he was DHing today. Plate appearances, but in those, he went 2-for-3 and scored 2 runs. He looked great offensively. Mike Monahan also had a 2-hit game in just the second game, which he's recorded a hit in. He went 2-for-4 from the plate with 2 strikeouts, though, and Landon Gaz had the 3-run home run as part of a 1-for-4 game. So final score 21-5. Taking a look ahead to tomorrow's game, it's the season finale for the Raptors. They will take on the Woodchucks to close it out here at Athletic Park, and the raft will be turning to Tyler Pacetti, the right-hander looking to get back on track, but he's going up against Tyler Frederick, the Battle of Tylers. Frederick, a 2.84 ERA on the season, and hoping to keep that rolling against the Rafters in a game which could clinch the Woodchucks a playoff spot. If the Woodchucks win tomorrow, they will be in the playoffs. If they lose, it's up to Madison, and we will have to wait and see. But that is tomorrow. The Rafters will play the Woodchucks, 3.05 p.m. first pitch. That other game for the Mallards doesn't start until 6, so this is the one that all eyes are on. The Rafters hoping to play spoiler. We'll see if they can, but that comes up tomorrow. 3.05, the season finale. Hope to have you there. Pre-game show starts at 2.50 p.m., but that's going to do it for our broadcast tonight. A lot of thank yous have to go around, of course, to Matt Clark, the broadcaster here in Wausau, one of my good friends and always great at helping make sure that I'm all set up with everything that I need in the press box here in Wausau and helping me have a great game. And along with that, everyone else here from Wausau for also always being great to talk to and being accepting of me here in their space in the press box as well. Another shout-out has to go to the Rafters coaching staff for being open to talk to, as always, and to our pregame guest of the show today, Seth Spencer, for having a great game, but also for being open to talk to us. But that's going to do it for us tonight from Wausau. So one final time, the Rafters' final score. The Rafters score 5, the Woodchucks 21. For myself, Austin Thomas, and from the rest of the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, thank you, and have a great rest of your night.
Who's making their food, which just seems weird to me, but like they're the last person to be able to decide how many people are working there. So why you take it out on them? Maybe Karen, maybe ask for the manager at that point instead of every other moment. Just kind of a thought.
Maybe.
And maybe if you had a union and you had a contract that said, hey, maybe we're gonna negotiate staffing levels, that could be beneficial for the consumer as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. It would be a win-win for us and a win-win for the customers. We'd be able to do our jobs and get them out at a reasonable time.
So last question I've got for you. How can we help? How can customers help? How can I help? How can people help? Because look, ultimately, I want people to make a good wage. I want them to have job security and not be fired for not writing on a cup. I hope most people want workers to have respect. So how can we help?
So as customers, what you can do is if you know your store that you frequent is not a unionized store, maybe talk to them about organizing their store. You can call corporate and tell them to finalize the contract with the Starbucks baristas. Be patient. If you go in and you see the baristas are overwhelmed, we're just doing the best that we can. And if you see us on strike, don't ever cross the picket line, please.
No, never cross a picket line, ever. So I got to tell you, there's one in Reading, not too far from me. I'm not a coffee drinker, but I will go. Maybe a Danish, something. Who do we call?
Yeah.
Who do we call and yell at right now? Is there a corporate person? Is there a direction? Is there a campaign of who we yell at?
You can call Starbucks corporate, and I wouldn't necessarily yell at the person on the phone, but just, you know, because they're just doing their job too, but just, you know, have a message to pass along to the CEO of Starbucks and just say, you know, finalize a contract, treat your workers better.
There you go. Jasmine, I appreciate you taking some time for us.
Thank you
so much.
Keep
up the fight. Keep up the great work. I wish you the best. Hope you'll come back and talk to us again once victory is achieved. Thanks so much. Jasmine Lally, barista there at the Buffalo Starbucks. Next time I'm in Buffalo, I'm going to have to swing by there. Want to hear your thoughts. Are you a Starbucks customer? Would you be willing to help? I want to hear your thoughts. Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. We'll take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. This day in labor history, the year was 1850. That was the day that two tailors who were out on strike in New York City were killed in a confrontation with the police.
It is thought that they were the first workers to die while participating in a strike in the United States. They certainly would not be the last. The United States has one of the bloodiest labor histories of any industrial nation. It's estimated that at least 700 people have lost their lives to violence during a strike. The vast majority of those slain were workers. Some of the most bloody conflicts included the Great Upheaval of 1877, where across the country, 100 workers lost their lives in an uprising of railway labor. Then, in 1892, the strike against Carnegie Steel in Homestead, Pennsylvania, 9 strikers and 3 Pinkerton agents died. 2 years later, 30 workers died across the country in a boycott and strike against the Pullman Palace Car Company. One of the most infamous labor massacres occurred in Ludlow, Colorado in 1914. During this coal mining strike, gun thugs hired by the company rained machine gun bullets and fire down on a tent colony of striking workers. At least 19 people were killed. 11 of them were children. In 1937, 10 workers died on Memorial Day at a demonstration against Republic Steel in Chicago. These are just some of the battles, massacres, and murders that shaped the American labor movement. Too often, the toil of this bloodshed is not taught in history classes. Labor History in 2, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
I apologize to Jasmine. I forgot to bring up their no contract, no coffee pledge that folks can take a look at and sign up for, and I will most certainly be signing up for it. You can do that at sbworkersunited.org. Look, at the end of the day, we should be demanding that workers have the right to organize for better wages, hours, conditions. And look, you know, we know that workers organize to join unions for the fundamental reason of collective action. It gives workers power that they could not have going into the boss's office alone. This idea that, well, you know, I can make my own deal. Yeah, that never seems to work out. And understand, when workers do come together, they get the ability to fight for better wages, hours, conditions, better schedules, more with safe workplaces. They're coming from a position of strength rather than, you know, whatever dear leader wants. And understand, in the corporate setting, boss is king. If you're in an at-will situation, you're just that, at will. When that will is no longer there, they can fire you for any reason or no reason whatsoever. So what unions do and do very well is negotiate on behalf of all members. They get contracts that have clear standards for pay, job security, health care, retirement. You go down the list, fair treatment. You go down the list, it's spelled out. That contract is very clear. It's in black and white, very simple. Even the boss can read it. And understand, for the individual, it leads to real, measurable improvements, not just in work, but also in work-life balance and home life. Because we know that union members earn consistently 10 to 15% higher wages than non-union workers do. And look, we know that union people who have a union card in their wallet also generally have a health insurance card. They've got retirement plans, paid medical leave, paid leave, protection against, well, being fired because the boss felt like it. And we know that it narrows the racial, the gender, the economic inequality gap massively. Our grandparents' generation, they fought for a prosperous working class. They fought for better opportunities for themselves and their children. And understand, employers hate unions, which is why you see so much anti-union stuff out there in the ethos. Because understand, if workers are earning higher wages, if workers are getting health care and retirement and paid sick time, that means less for yachts. That means less for the employer class to divvy up among themselves.
along with their shareholder buddies. And understand also that unions don't just benefit members. And we've talked about this for years. If there's a strong union presence in any industry, wages are up for everyone, the union worker and the non-union worker. You know, when we had 35% union density in this country in the private sector, that meant you had 35% of workers making good, solid union wages, but also about 35% of the non-union sector making just about the same. That spillover effect, that gives us a more robust and more equitable labor market. And understand, high union density is linked to all kinds of things. Higher productivity, lower turnover rates, more workplace training, greater civic participation. Because if you're empowered in the workplace, generally that's going to spill over into the community affairs. Again, something the employer class, the wealth class, something they don't really want. They don't want people who think that their voice matters. So when you look at these workers who are, you know, just working in a coffee shop going, hey, we demand better, we should all be behind it. Societally, we should be demanding that corporations recognize workers' rights to organize when they want this. Because, well, it may not affect you directly in your paycheck, but it's going to have a spillover effect into the greater economy, into defending democracy. Because understand, when workers have a real voice, you have some corporate checks. There's some balance there. If the CEO gives himself a $100 million raise, don't you think the union's going to come to the table and go, hey, buddy, how about throwing a couple of nickels this way? And understand, when that happens, economic growth becomes more broadly shared. And we get that thing that they talk about all the time. Something like a middle class. And when you have workers who have higher wages, especially those union workers, they pay more in taxes, rely less on public assistance, strengthen the public coffers, increase social stability. Lots of things that we should be demanding and wanting, not just for ourselves, but for the community as a whole. Basically, in short, unions aren't just tools for you to do better or me to do better. They're the pillar on what this country was built on. A fair, productive, inclusive society where people who work hard, play by the rules, actually do get ahead. And understand, encouraging unions means investing in the dignity of work, something I talk about all the time. Also helps with, you know, making sure the local community is healthy, because people have health insurance. They can go see a doctor when they're sick. These are things when you talk to individuals, people want. Democrat, Republican, independent, right, left, center, up, down, backwards. This is what working people want. And it's what we should be demanding. It's what we should be demanding from our political leaders. It's what we should be demanding every time we go to the polls. But just as important, and what my grandparents' generation understood, your dollars matter. So take the pledge over at sbworkersunited.org. Don't go to a non-unionized store until they have a contract. Never cross a picket line. But when you see an organizing campaign happen, and I've said this for years, grab a box of coffee from one of the places that maybe is unionized. You know, grab a pizza or something, go to the picket line and talk to those workers. Be part of the work that they're doing. Because ultimately, the life that they're making better could be yours, could be mine, could be ours. And if we fight for a just society, if we fight for equality, if we fight for a working class that can prosper, I think, you know, because we've seen this before, I think it's better. And I want to hear your thoughts. Have you come across a Starbucks campaign? Are you going to take the pledge? Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Tell me what you think. Miss any portion of the show? Make sure you grab the podcast wherever you get your favorite podcast. You'll find ours, freespeech.org, the website for the video. And as always, thanks so much for being here. See you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. Rick@ricksmithshow.com. Until next time, this has been The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Atlanta. A police officer has died after being shot while responding to a call of a man who shot fired shots outside of the CDC headquarters and near the Emory University campus. DeKalb County CEO Lorraine Cochran Johnson.
This evening, there is a wife without a husband. There are three children, one unborn without a father. There is a mother and a father, as well as siblings, who also share in this traumatic loss.
Police say the suspected shooter is dead and the man's motive is not yet known. President Trump says on social media that he'll meet Russian President Vladimir Putin next Friday in Alaska to discuss ending the war in Ukraine. CBS's Nancy Cordes reports.
President Trump's one-on-one meeting with Vladimir Putin will be their first since 2019. Contrary to initial plans, Ukrainian President Vladimir